not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and to the persecuted church. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 270. It is September 10, 2015. Today, I think we'll finish up the book of Revelation, and as I've been saying all along, it's definitely not every detail. We're just doing some highlights, and you can do a little more detail work by getting the book that I wrote some time ago, and I'll show you how to get that a little bit later on. I think we're going to move on to chapter 20, an angel coming down from heaven holding the key. And we did talk about the key yesterday, how that there are personages held in this pit, whether symbolically or actually, they're held there, they're being restrained there, and he who restrains will continue to restrain until whoever is needed in that pit is able to come out, Antichrist being one of those. That's what 2 Thessalonians 2, I believe, is telling us about, not the new theory that somehow the Holy Spirit is the restrainer and that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken away from the earth. That's a strange one. No, the restrainer is the angel. He's being restrained. Antichrist is actually being restrained by that angel, and he'll come onto the earth. In this case, the angel comes down, grabs that dragon, the one that was inside the Antichrist. And then the Antichrist, too, they all are going to be in this lake of fire. And then here's the judgment. Thrones, judgment is given to them. The souls of those that have been beheaded because of their testimony. People are receiving rewards. Here we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we who are in Christ. But rewards are going to be given there. Judgment, serious negative judgment, given at the great white throne judgment also. It talks about that in another place. Verse 5, the rest of the dead didn't live until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Paul says the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be going up with him. That's at the beginning. All that's at the beginning of the millennium. At the end of the millennium, it says, there's another resurrection, the white throne judgment, people who will stand before him. I will not go deeply into those things. Those are fairly generally understood among us, believed among us, and that's good. That's chapter 20, the judgment at the throne of God is how that chapter ends. And then we go into the new heaven and the new earth. Now, the difficulty with chapters 21 and 22 have to do with this, that there are prophecies in the Old Testament that do talk about a kingdom period. And in some of those kingdom passages, there is a definite correlation to what's said in 21 and 22. But 21 and 22 are after the kingdom period, into what we will just have to call eternity. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us much about eternity. But here it is, a little bit of it, and it seems to gel a lot with those Old Testament prophecies which we had thought were about the millennium. Now, I'm confusing you. I want you to go ahead and figure this one out yourself. I will show you a couple things here that are problematic to me. I cannot tell you whether 21 and 22 are after the kingdom or the kingdom itself, just a rehash of things that have already happened. And again, God taking John, the angel taking John backwards a little bit and showing him some things that he's already told him, that perhaps 21 is the millennium. There's problems either way. It says he will wipe away tears from their eyes in verse 4. There'll be no longer any death. There'll be no longer any death. Well, there will be death during the millennium. That's just a shock to some, I understand. But that's the truth. There will be some problems during the millennium. The rule will be of Christ. We're going to have ordinary humans in some cases, in most cases, all cases in one sense, who will be the rulees. And the church, the kingdom of God, the people of God who've got their new bodies and their new everything, they're going to be the holy ones who will rule the earth at that time. But you understand there's a need for that rule. If everybody on earth is perfect, then we don't need a rule. But the idea is that Jesus is going to show humanity what it could have been like if they had submitted to him all along. And we will see how the rule of Jesus really works through his people. We're not to rule the earth now. The Roman Catholic Church and some of the Protestant groups made that mistake. Huge mistake to think that we were supposed to have political power. And we need to watch that even during the political races that are going on right now. God didn't call his people to rule the world now. He did call his people to rule the world, but not now. We need to discern the times. We need to understand the times. We're not in the rulership mode right now. You're not able to rule the world. Christians keep proving that over and over. We don't. Sometimes Christians in charge is one of the worst things you could imagine, because they start enforcing righteousness, and that's not what Jesus has in mind right now. We have voluntary righteousness now by members of the body of Christ, and it's true and it's real and it's good, but when you try to enforce it, then you've got something else. And I'm glad for righteous rulers. I'm glad for people who want good things to happen, but that doesn't bring about the kingdom. That just brings about some good government. And I'd much rather live next to a person who does right things than a person who's a criminal. True. But true righteousness comes through Christ. And, well, the plan has already been laid out. We don't rule now. We rule when he comes and he takes over. And we'll have total rule at that time. And it's going to be with a rod of iron. He will rule, and so will we, with a rod of iron. If you're put in charge of something, and I hope you are, I hope I am. If we're being faithful now, then we'll be put in charge of things later. Isn't that what the parables were trying to teach us? Be faithful now in your rulership. Jesus is looking at you. He's checking you out to see, hey, where should I put this person? He knows it all, but I'm just saying, looking at it humanly speaking, that rulership later is based on rulership now over the things that you're allowed to rule over. We don't rule the world, but we rule our lives. We're given responsibility sometimes in the church, in our families. There's lots of things that we are ruling over, but we don't rule over the world at this point. That's never been promised until Jesus comes, and then it is big time promise. Well, I said all that to say that there's a normal kingdom coming. That is, well, it won't be normal compared to what we've seen, but we're going to see a time when Jesus will rule ordinary people. That's the people who were still alive as they came into the kingdom period. Matthew 25. I think I told you yesterday I was going to talk about that. If I'm not careful, I'm going to give away another day here. Don't mean to be doing this, but Matthew 25. I'm still looking. Have you found it? When the Son of Man comes in his glory, verse 31, and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. How would you put all those billions and billions of people literally in front of Jesus? You're going to put nations, like a United Nations, the representatives perhaps from each nation. They'll all be gathered before him. I'm saying this literally because it has to be this way. This is different than what we've been taught. It's different from what precedes it in the chapters before. Matthew 24, it does talk about the coming again of Jesus Christ. But now he's already come. Here he is. He's here in verse 31. He's come. All the angels too. And he's raised up his people. We know that when Jesus comes, he raises up his people to reign with him. And so there are all the reigning people, all the saved people, already with him. So we're not dividing the world into Christians and non-Christians here. That's already been done when he comes. But when he calls the nations, the ones that are still alive, were not destroyed, he's bringing them forth, these representatives of nations. You'll find Messianic Jews who understand this and believe this, and they teach it this way. the ones on his left, the ones on his right. Those are good nations, bad nations, based on how they treated Jesus when they had a chance to treat Jesus, specifically during the tribulation. Those who protected God's people, fed God's people, helped God's people, those nations and those individuals are going to be blessed. They're going to be allowed to come in and be ruled by the church. They'll get to stay alive. The others will go on into lostness. But even though there are nations coming in and they're being blessed by God and they were told from the beginning, hey, you're a good nation, still there will be the sin problem there, which will lead to the death problem. Now, because of Jesus and who he is and because he's able to do this and that and because of how things were supposed to be from the beginning, much of the curse will be gone. And people will live these long lives according to the prophecies of the Old Testament. Long lives and wonderful lives. Good, everything's just going to be so wonderful, but they're still going to be imperfect people. There's still going to be death. But in verse 4 of chapter 21, where we all started with this, there's no longer any death. So this looks like it's after the millennium, as you would think, because chapter 20 talked about the millennium, and now we're into what? Eternity, the new heaven, the new earth. I noted in verse 8, it's the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and those people have their part in the lake of fire. They're already gone. Notice the cowardly. I just that bothers me. You know that's the first thing that he mentions. We understand adultery. We understand idolatry. We understand murder. But the first thing that God mentions as something he truly hates and will truly put a person in the lake of fire is cowardice. Oh, wow. I'll let you just deal with that one for a little while. I hope I'm not talking to any cowards, but I know I have been and am in many situations, and we need to repent of cowardice when God tells us to be strong and not to be afraid. The New Jerusalem is described, but the New Jerusalem is now first time coming down out of heaven. I thought that came down when we came down. See where it goes back and forth here. Look at verse 24. The nations are going to walk in the light. The nations. Well, I thought we were after the millennium now. What are these nations still doing here? You see what I mean? It goes back and forth. And I'll let you just struggle with that. I don't have an answer for that. Totally. Is chapter 21 talking about? What is it talking about? 22, what's it talking about? The healing of the nations is talked about in 22:2. So it looks like some of these nations are still staying on. Maybe they've gotten saved by now. They're going to be able to be saved during that time. Final message in chapter 22 at the end. Finally, he says to John, don't seal up the words of this prophecy. Daniel was told, seal it up, because so many of the things that were spoken to Daniel aren't going to happen until the end of time. And we're coming to the end of time by the time we have the book of Revelation and all of its fulfillment. And so opposite words given to John, go ahead and let people read this. Let people understand it. And there it is again, for the time is near. The word is engos, at hand. At hand. It's kind of like at any moment, in one sense, things could just go right into this tribulation time. At any moment, things are being settled. You need to check things out. Be a discerner of the times and see where we are. I think it's close. He does say, behold, I am coming quickly. Remember what I said about that at the beginning of all this. He's coming quickly. In one sense, I'm not going to go all through that again, but there is a sense in which he's so close. Everything is so close. And when that last person comes in that he has seen from the foundation of the world, when that person is in, and wow, it could just happen so instantaneously. And you know, verses 18 and 19, I testify to everyone who hears, we're not talking necessarily believers here. Anyone who hears about this and then says, you know, it's not quite complete, I want to add a little bit to that, that person is cursed. Or the person who hears and then decides, man, some of this doesn't sound quite right, I can't believe that, let's take that out, that person is cursed by these verses. Not talking about believers losing their salvation here. talking about unbelievers looking at the book of Revelation and saying, I don't know. I don't know if I can buy all of that, or it needs a little bit more. Don't mess with that. He who testifies to these things says it one more time. I am coming quickly. Does that mean soon? Not necessarily. When I come, I'm coming quickly. One day you'll be doing all your stuff, and the next day, the next moment, I'll be here. Coming quickly. Amen and amen. Well, you know, there's a whole lot more to the book of Revelation than what I just gave you. So, if you like my take on more of that, and what I wrote is just a drop in the bucket too, compared to all there is out there. You can go back to Sermon Audio and check under Scroll of Revelation, and you'll be able to get the text and print it out. Now, you take the cost of paper, and especially ink these days, that might not be as good a bargain as just going ahead and getting the book. It's just a few dollars. The Scroll of Revelation, go to createspace.com/385-8535. It's a commentary on the whole book of Revelation. It'll go a little deep, a lot deeper than what we were able to do in this highlight. Well, done. Praise God. I think that tomorrow we'll do an extra Charles Spurgeon. Don't you just love hearing what Charles Spurgeon said? I have a book of his, and we started it a long time ago. Maybe we'll finish it this weekend, I don't know. But it's called Spurgeon on the Holy Spirit. These are sermons, but not in the same sense as what I read on the weekend. This is in book form, and it's read like a book, whereas on the weekend I'm reading something that he actually delivered and telling you the time that he delivered it and all that. But it's still Charles Spurgeon, and it's real good. We'll talk about grieving the Holy Spirit on tomorrow's podcast. Thank you for staying with me. Don't forget where we began, Revelation 22:10 today. Don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. Get the word out.